Welcome back to Switchcast Season 6. Switchcast is the podcast, the automotive podcast that's not just for car people. The show where we seek to edify, educate, and entertain in no particular order. Especially since half the time we don't know what we're talking about, so to educate people from a point of blindness is, well, you know. Anyway, we're
having
fun
tough,
here.
But it is a job that we take very seriously.
We should say it's the podcast where our listeners know more than we do.
Yes.
Because it's actually accurate. They are just here for the unique perspective. We get educated quite a lot after episodes sometimes. Some finance expert or lawyer or automotive expert will chime in and go, you're mostly right, but...
It's like you're so close.
You pronounced EBITDA wrong.
Is EBITDA the right way to pronounce it?
Apparently, but Dave Ramsey pronounced EBITDA the other day, or EBITDA or something.
I thought it was EBITDA.
I think it's EBITDA. Yeah. I think it's EBITDA.
Is it?
I don't know.
Chat. What do you
say? I had the enunciation on the second syllable. Regardless, I know what it stands for. Who cares if I can pronounce? I can't pronounce Nevada right. It's Nevada.
Well, when you say it with the nose like that, of course it doesn't.
If you enjoy this podcast, help us out with the algorithms. If you like, subscribe, share, review, it all helps us out with that AI crap, and it helps other people see the podcast. And please also support our sponsors, and you can also sign up for Patreon for the bonus content and the live show on Tuesday night, all the behind the scenes stuff,
including what happens before we hit the record button, which was riveting tonight. Let me to half the show it, prep happened.
Yes. Yes. Our special Christmas Switchcast with a bunch of former guests and some very lively discussion is only on Patreon now. Yes. So speaking of sponsors, we want to give it a sponsor shout out from a listener to Shaughnessy Overland Express and RMS Automotive Brokers, same company. They are our sponsor, wonderful transportation company. One of our listeners on YouTube is very not impressed with Shaughnessy because he wanted to get a car shipped open. Apparently Shaughnessy is only for specialty cars and for rich people, and we should have disclosed that before sending him over to Shaughnessy, because he got it done for like a third of the price with an open carrier.
Well, I'm sure the other, what'd you say, third of the price? The
Something
other two
like
thirds
that.
Was risk. And I'm not a risk guy, so I'm okay with, I'm sure the next time I need to get a car shipped, I guarantee you I'm going to go through Shaughnessy.
Commented on multiple videos
really?
About this. He has not let it go. Which,
I mean, it's
the best advertising possible for Shaughnessy, honestly.
But also, shipping a car is just expensive. It sucks, but it's expensive.
It is. It is. But anyway, a listener shipped their beautiful forest green Aero Kit 993 with cashmere interior. Yep, that was like Tyler's dream spec.
Sorry, I'm like peeking the mics over
his here.
His
review is, you guys weren't lying about Shaughnessy. They spoke English. Their trailer wasn't trash. This is the baseline in the transport industry right now.
No, this is what you have to pay a bunch of money for, is English and not trash
No,
equipment.
I'm saying that like the baseline is that just trash and they can speak English. Like that's such a low bar. And they were super professional. They were a little more pricey, but the peace of mind was worth it. I think I found my new go-to transporter. So thank you for trying them, and I knew that you would have a good experience. That's why we endorse them. More positive stuff. We got a thank you note from a customer of Switch Cars. I've added some principles from the book Unreasonable Hospitality to how we do things at Switch Cars, and it's been pretty awesome. It's a lot of fun coming up with different gifts and ways to kind of like wow our customer beyond just like selling them a car. And I sent them a like 80s, 90s Ohio license plate that was in perfect condition. They bought a 1988 BMW M3. So in Ohio and some other states, you can get a period correct plate and you can take it into the DMV and register that plate to your car. So you can have a 1990 plate on your 1990 car. All right. I sent that to him. I'm just like, here you go. And it like just happened to have his initials on it too.
Whoa.
So it was just like random. But anyway, he sent me a note. I don't have the note in front of me, but just a thank you note. And he said, you know, it was actually a really good Christmas gift because when I opened the package, my wife saw it, thought that I had bought another car, that's what the plate was for, and kind of just shrugged her shoulders and went, okay. And he goes, this is great because I take that as permission / approval.
So, well, heck yeah. She wasn't that upset.
Listen, some sales guys just troll the service lane to try to drum up business. Well, we get the wives to get on board.
That's 'cause they're the real final barrier.
Right. We like following up on stuff that we've talked about before, unlike real journalists, because we're not real journalists, but in some ways we're better. We talked about a 2015 Porsche 911 GT3 that was on governmentdeals.com, which since then I've seen some pretty crazy stuff on there. They're selling like the full command center mobile operations trailers and, you know, yeah, it's pretty neat.
A long time ago, when I think I was looking for Crown Vic police interceptors, Dan Doucette sent me Gov Deals, and I went down a rabbit hole of just all the crazy, very specific niche crap you can find on here for like $1,000. Mm-hmm. And I thankfully didn't purchase anything, but I was so tempted.
Indeed. Well, this one had sold the first time we looked at it for $129 plus premium, which we didn't think was that good of a deal. Well, the deal apparently got better the second time they ran it. And as far as I can tell, it did go through, but it's a red GT3 with ceramic brakes and I think buckets. Nicely spec'd anyway. Doesn't matter. This time around, it sold for $116,500. So $131,000 with buyer's premium. So that actually was a very, very good deal. So somebody made out on that purchase. And
I mean, there's probably going to be some servicing to get it kind of where it needs to be, but that's cheap.
It's super cheap. 19,000 miles. The description. Oh man. The description is terrible. Okay. First, 2015 Porsche 911 coupe two-door 3.8 liters H6, which is correct. 24 valve double overhead cam turbo.
Yeah. There's no turbos.
Nope. This description, two lines farther. This beauty has a V6 engine.
Not quite. You got the six right. Oh, thank goodness it has the black leather interior seats with a stock AM/FM radio. Listen to your tunes.
Listen, that's why it went cheap. Okay, well, somebody got a great deal. What is fueling this podcast?
Oh, so we have from Tim Neely. He brought us a gift last time, some delicious looking Heaven's Door double barrel that we did not get a chance to open, but I'm going to open it now.
Speaking of opening and gifts, we have a gift from a loyal listener and a loyal Switch Cars customer who bought his, I believe, sixth car from Switch Cars this past month. And not sixth car this year, but sixth car overall. And if giving us all his money wasn't enough, he also sent us a gift.
Oh, well, we like gifts.
Yeah, we do.
The money wasn't a gift.
No. It was an exchange of goods. So we're opening this right now. It's from Jim. Thank you, Jim, for this. Oh, it comes in a fancy
burlap sack.
Burlap. I was going to say hemp bag. Cabernet Sauvignon by Grand Napa Vineyards, 2021. It was a good year.
Well, that looks like a fancy bottle.
Yeah, so we're gonna be sipping on a little wine, courtesy of Jim. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jim.
Our Patreon topic, for those who want to sign up for that, patreon.com/switchcast, is, are paid car reviewers legit, or are their opinions bought? So stick around for that. Well, not
more at 11.
Around. You can stick around as long as you want. You won't get to hear it unless you sign up for Patreon. Join the cult. What do we call our patrons?
Oh yeah, we should have a
join the gearbox. Join the gated community.
That's good. How do we play on Switchcast?
Join the cast.
Join the cast. Oh, woo.
Make the switch. You might have thought it would never happen, but Switchcast is endorsing a transport company. Whether you're moving a rare collectible, a high-end sports car, or your personal luxury vehicle, Shaughnessy Overland Express delivers with precision, privacy, and respect. This isn't just transport, it's white glove care from pickup to delivery. For over 14 years, they've earned the trust of collectors, enthusiasts, dealers, and owners by offering unmatched service and personalized attention. You'll work directly with their experienced in-house team, ensuring a smooth and private experience without middlemen or surprises. Every shipment is protected with up to $3 million in cargo insurance, offering peace of mind for even the most valuable and rare vehicles on the road. In addition to their enclosed fleet, they've also established a trusted auto transport brokerage service, giving you access to a nationwide network of vetted open and enclosed carriers. Whether you need transport on a route they don't currently operate or their carriers are at full capacity when your schedule demands, they'll still get it done without compromising the Shaughnessy standard of excellence. Same professionalism, same personal touch, expanded flexibility. We are proud at Switchcast to endorse Shaughnessy Overland Express as the official transporter of Switchcast. Visit SOEXInc.com and tell them Switchcast sent you. Story time from Switch Cars once again. It's the end of the year, so some people might say we're grasping at straws, but no, we're just recapping.
Grasping at bottles.
Deposits to hold a car are a hotly debated topic in the car industry. Customers
are they really?
Them. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Who is against? Sorry, I'm going to let you finish.
People, I don't know that people are against them. It's just the mechanism of how it works is very heavily debated, which is crazy to me because in real estate, they are par for the course. It's earnest money. There are conditions attached, and whether or not you lose your earnest money or get it back is very clearly laid out, and nobody is upset when they lose their earnest money because they suck as a buyer.
Well, and that's what – so I'm interested to hear where you're going to go with this because I – to me, it just makes too much sense. You have a piece of paper that says for the exchange of this vehicle, this deposit, yada, 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 the stipulations, how long it's valid for, the expectations of the deal, the final price, some signatures, bada boom. Like, you're good to go. That makes so much sense to me.
Yes. But things happen in real estate that also don't happen in car business where, for example, a house could go for over asking. There can be a bidding war, and that's okay. But with cars, heaven forbid, you are just screwing over everybody that didn't get the car to asking price. You can't charge over sticker. You can't charge over asking, whatever. It's very different. I think there's more emotions involved with cars or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, some dealers will not take deposits no matter what. They're basically just like, listen, the first person to get here gets the car. And
which that to me is wild because I would like my time to do my due diligence. I would like a PPI. I would like let me get my finances in order. Like,
well, they'd say you can do that, but you may lose out to what they consider a better buyer or a better situation for them. I don't think they're wrong. We've not chosen to go that route. We do take deposits, but we've refined our deposit policy. We've changed it 100 times over the years, especially since COVID. Anyway, we had two deposits this past month, and one of them we returned and the other one we didn't, but both of them were very similar situations, and it illustrates why dealers have deposits. I think a lot of the controversy is people say, like, well, it's wrong for a dealer to keep a deposit, or like, kind of like, what are your damages?
Well, but how could it be if a buyer doesn't follow through, the deposit is supposed to make up for your opportunity cost of being able to sell to somebody else. you don't sign the paper. Sorry.
But it's never the buyer's fault that they don't follow through.
I don't
through.
Understand. It's
rarely. It's sometimes they will admit that it is. But so we have gotten down. Our current policy is a 5-day hold maximum. And that is there's specific criteria. It is basically to move your money around if you need to, finish your financing. But if you are not approved for financing, typically we won't take a hold because it's like, well, we don't even know if you can pay for it yet. And we don't take a deposit until we have gotten to the point of you want to buy the car with very specific defined stipulations. I want to buy the car, but I need to fly in 2 days and look at it to make sure you're not misrepresenting it. Okay. I want to buy the car, but I want to have a third party PPI to make sure you're not misrepresenting it. Okay. I want to buy the car. I just applied for financing. I'll have an answer today. And then it takes them 4 days to send me the check and I send it to you or whatever. Okay. Not, I think I want to buy the car, but I have to talk to my wife about it.
Well, and that to me doesn't, maybe I'm just looking at this from too much of like a rational lens, and I've not bought that many cars. It's only a handful. But if you need to talk to somebody else or okay it or make a decision through some other means, like you aren't ready to sign the piece of paper. In
Correct.
My brain, the signature on the deposit thing is saying, I'm buying this car if X, Y, and Z are true.
Correct.
And it's usually PPI comes back with a big old thumbs up.
Right. But the good thing about the deposits is it weeds out the people who aren't ready because we have those policies because a lot of people want to give us a deposit. Like, yeah, I want to hold the car. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm not ready to hold the car yet because you're not ready.
Yeah, that's
and
wild.
So I've actually pushed people off and said, I'm not taking your deposit because you're not going to agree to my specific stipulations. So, and here's two examples of why we have those stipulations in place. And when people debate us about whether or not a deposit should be refundable or whether or not it's fair, I point back to these scenarios. And I literally use this first scenario to explain to the second scenario why I was giving him his deposit back and I was no longer holding the car for him. So anyway, the first one, 2012 Black Edition Cabriolet that we have, super low miles, still have it for some reason, whatever. I can't forget the term. Had this in my notes. There's a term in the car business that we say buyers are liars.
Oh.
And customers will think that's ironic because they all think dealers are stealers. Just came up with that.
Nice.
But it is quite often true. But it isn't because the buyers are not the ones who are liars. I think we should refine the term to be strokers or jokers because it's not the actual buyers typically who are dishonest.
Yeah.
It's the ones who say, I'm going to buy the car. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I got financing, whatever. Those are the ones that that make stuff up. The ones who actually buy usually tell the truth. Okay, Black Edition Cabriolet. Guy gives us a deposit. I think it was around Thanksgiving. So we told him 5-day hold. Well, is that business days or regular days? And we're like, whatever. We'll hold it till next week because of the holiday.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to sign the contracts we sent him because he wanted to wait until it was 5 days until next Tuesday. And we're like, well, you already gave us the deposit. So like we have a verbal agreement. So we're holding it for 5 days based on the deposit. I don't care when you sign the contracts. You waiting a week to sign the contract doesn't extend your hold.
Well, and doesn't also the transfer of money indicate the, like, enough of an agreement?
It's consideration, yes.
Yeah, it's like an acceptance of, like, you wouldn't have sent the money if you didn't agree to the terms that said the money is for this.
Correct. Yeah. So, regardless, we said, okay, next Tuesday, that's the date. Because that was, he's like, yeah, I'll pay you next Tuesday. I'll have my funds or whatever. We call him on Tuesday. And, hey, you wiring us money today? Oh, well, I'm stuck in Colorado and, you know, somebody I'm with is sick. So we can't travel home. So I'll be back this weekend and I'll wire you money on Monday. I was like, well, that's not really what we agreed to. Like, I'm not going to, you know, if that's really true, somebody's sick, I'm not going to, like, call you a liar, because, you know, for somebody to use their sick relative as an excuse is really, really low. And for me to accuse him of doing that is even worse.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, fine. Monday. That's fine. But you will lose your deposit if you don't wire us money Monday. Like, and so he goes, oh, well, do you want me to sign the contract now? He still hadn't signed the DocuSign. I'm like, no, like, we're already past the 5 days. You signing the contract now doesn't extend this whole thing.
That's
I'm
so
just
wild.
Saying you can pay me Monday and whatever. We'll see how this works out. We didn't have anyone else like beating down our doors for the car. So it was worth the risk. Otherwise, it'd be like, no, you're out. Monday comes. All right. You wiring us money. I'm working on it. We'll get that done this week. Like, well, today's the day.
Yeah, it's the day you agreed on.
Yeah. So he's just kind of like pushing stuff down the road. So we're like, okay, he's not really gonna buy it. So that Friday, so this was more than 2 weeks after he left a deposit, we get a notification in our email that his wife had applied for financing.
Wait, hold on.
Started the process.
But through the Switch Cars like website.
Yes.
Oh my God. Why?
I'll wire you money on Tuesday. No, so I can't because we're stuck in Colorado with a sick relative. I'll wire you money on Monday.
And then I'll work on getting you. Oh.
A week later, I'll apply for financing. I won't even start the process while I'm promising to wire you money. I'm just going to buy 2 weeks and then apply for financing and get declined.
I wonder if they got declined before and then the website was like the last
ditch. I'm sure.
Like,
I'm sure.
What kind of excuse is I'm stuck with a sick relative in Colorado? That is a wildly niche excuse.
You know, maybe it was true. Maybe both things were true. I can't pay you yet because I'm trying to get financing. And this is also true yeah. over here. So I'm going to use it as an excuse. But karma is a real sandy beach
yes.
in the Bahamas.
Wow.
And actually, we should say it's a sandy beach in New Jersey because of Fisker Karma. They were all destroyed by Hurricane Sandy. Get it?
Yep.
And yeah, so karma is a sandy beach in New Jersey. There's two layers to that.
It's a very good onion. Just a
yeah. Anyway, so that deal did not go through. But again, this it just reinforces, like, as soon as people start making excuses, it's like we know where this is going.
Well, and it also feels like people don't seem to understand that you do this. Or living.
I've heard work. Them all.
You've heard everything. You know it's like a teacher with excuses why you don't have your homework. It's like, please surprise me.
You brought in a note that your mom wrote that.
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. Looks suspiciously like your handwriting.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sure thing, bud.
Yeah. Okay. So case number two, still ongoing. BMW 540i, older one. He sent us a $500 deposit. For 5 days. In order to arrange financing. He then assumed that meant, because it was $500 for 5 days, that it was $100 a day to hold the car. So on the sixth day, we get $100.
Seriously?
Through Venmo. And then a couple days later, we get $200. I was like, all right, this has got to stop. Like, bro thinks he's going to make payments forever. So I said,
eventually he'll just pay for the car. He keeps doing that.
But that's its own problem. Is I've heard stories of situations like that where that like establishes some sort of agreement to finance
because you keep accepting the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm not going to consult a lawyer or even Google this. I just like something triggered in my memory where I'm like, this is not a good situation. I'm sending him his deposit back because I'm not accepting this. So I sent him the $400 above the $500 he had sent back to him. Cause he's like, oh no. Like, we're going to get this done tomorrow. I was like, okay, I'll hold your $500 for one more day. But like, you know, after that, we're not doing it. And then he's like, well, I couldn't get financing, but my employer is going to front me the money or advance my paycheck or something like that to buy okay. this car.
Don't.
Oh, here was the kicker.
Is an old BMW what should be purchased if this is...
And in case anyone's concerned, I am not naming any names here. We're not violating privacy. I am not here to shame any individual person or break any laws. That's dumb. For all you know, this is made up scenarios.
For all
names,
you know, it's me.
Locations and details have been changed to protect the innocent.
Doug's going to front me the money from this Switchcast.
People think I make up everything I say anyway, yeah. So it doesn't matter. The reason he couldn't get approved, allegedly, is because the bank wanted him to pay off his credit card debt in order for them to grant him an approval. So instead of paying off his credit card debt, he keeps sending us payments.
Nice.
So I'm like, bro, I almost don't want to sell you this car because I don't think you should be buying it or can afford it because of, I know just enough yeah. into your financial situation. But anyway, you tell people that, they get more mad. Like, I don't want to sell you the car. That just ticks them off.
Well, I imagine that belief. Takes that it feels like they're interpreting that as you were telling them they're not good enough for some reason, but there's also probably some own self-confidence things if they've got to go through. It's probably a whole psychological thing.
Sometimes it's just a matter of the risk. Like, there's an old business principle. If it starts difficult, it's going to continue to be difficult. So if a client comes yes. out and they're throwing off those alarm bells right off the bat, sometimes it's just, what's the other saying? Sometimes the best deal you can make is the one you don't.
Oh, yeah.
But to tell people, like, I'd prefer not to do business with you. I don't think this is the best situation. Like, no, man, you're a car dealer. You have to sell me the car.
The customer's always right.
Customer's always right. Yeah, in matters of taste, that's the full saying. So anyway, so I sent the original $500 back because I'm not going to keep a deposit from somebody who is in that financial situation, yeah. even if I'm entitled to it. I'm just not going to do it. So I sent him his initial $500 back. So we had $0 of his money, and that really set him off. Because he's like, no, I'm paying for the car today. I'm going to get the money from my employer. And I was like, listen, if you want to pay for the car today or tomorrow, great. Like, we don't have anyone ready to buy the car.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get sold today. And usually I don't tell people that. I'm like, no deposit, no call. Like, you don't care. I kind of felt bad for this guy. So I'm like, whatever. You got 24 hours with no money on the table. He's like, well, but no, you do have somebody ready to buy the car. It's me. I was like, uh-huh. Like,
what's the definition of ready?
Just, yeah. So that was, I think, last week or a week and a half ago. He's still calling us trying to listen. Really? Well, I'll send us your wiring information. Well, I didn't get the paperwork. I'm like,
oh.
Uh-huh.
So there's still yet to be a conclusion.
This is the reason I sent his deposit back 2 weeks ago. I'm just like, I can't hold cars forever, but that's what people want. That's it. Anyway,
I also think on the flip side of this, so I tried very hard in the purchase of my GT3 to send the previous owner a deposit. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted so bad because I was so terrified it was all like felt too good to be true. Like, some things were lining up and I was like, no, no, no. I want in writing that says I'm buying this car for this amount of money. If the PPI comes back good. And I asked him like two or three times to send a deposit. And he just like straight, he's like, we don't need to do that. Don't worry about it. Like, let's just... He was doing it in a very like stand up kind of, you know, I reached out to him. It wasn't on the market, but it was risky. I didn't like it.
I was like, because I don't trust anyone's word. So, and I've been burned in situations like that where people are just like, you give me your word, then we're good. And then they break their word.
I know a bit more about this guy now. We've had lots of really good discussions, and I'm so glad it worked out the way it did. But a part of me was like, man, somebody could walk up to this guy because he just sees this car randomly and shoot him an offer that just happens to be bigger than mine for whatever reason.
I got news for you. Even if you had a contract and a deposit, well, somebody could do that too.
I guess.
And
that's
he'd
true.
Send you back the deposit and tear up the contract and say, sue me.
But
what are you going to do about it?
True. Which I think goes to show that, like, when I guess maybe more private
Craig
party.
Landreth.
What? Huh? Doug? You got something in your throat? But I guess it just goes to show that, like, in private party stuff, there is a little bit more risk involved, and everybody needs to trust each other. And at any moment, somebody could break that trust. I'm glad nobody did that in my car purchase was good, but I'm sure you've seen a lot where they went sideways.
Absolutely. Anyway, so there you go. Somebody can say, well, you should change your deposit policy to be this, that, whatever. You know, like I said, some dealers don't have one at all. What we've done works for us, and it weeds out the strokers for the most part. But there's always some risk, even in holding a car, and we've chosen the acceptable level of risk in order to give our customers the opportunity to perform the due diligence that they want, because we want, like, the no deposit policy is a negative customer experience, in my opinion. Yes. Like, you, especially with the type of cars we do. If we did Chevys, and it's like, okay, fine, you just come down, how soon can you come down to the dealership? Yeah. In our scenario, like, people are buying remotely. It's a multi-step process. So we have to have some mechanism for them to be able to hold the car and go through their process.
Yes. So,
that brings us to the shrewd negotiator, appropriate subsegment for this discussion. And this one is from our friend Arnab. And boy, just turned 40. Everybody wish him a happy birthday. Let's see, 2019, this is on Renless, 2019 paint sample, Black Olive GT3 Touring, 26,000 miles, driver's DME.
You know,
ever, Doug, heard that term before?
You know, so Doug sent me this link and I was too busy drooling over the car because it was a green Touring with a bunch of really good options that I kind of just glossed over the whole driver's DME thing. Does that mean it's got everything and all the ranges other than the bad ones?
Yeah, no. Factory paint, no accidents. PPF from new, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, I drove it a bit hard as intended. Range 1, yes. Range 2, yes. Range 3, yes. Range 4, yes. Oops. Range 5, yes. Vroom. Range 6, yes. Included in price.
Wait, what's the highest range on the new ones?
6.
Who?
Yeah, that's a real money shift.
Yikes.
That's a real money shift. 18-way old man seats, heated.
Ooh, I was also in love with the fact that the 18-ways were in a Touring.
Uh-huh.
Boy,
this is a weird one. Carfax DME PPI paint readings all provided with proof of funds. It's a Carfax, for heaven's sake. You have a Dropbox link and you just send it over to anyone, whatever. Never tracked. I did it on my own.
That line I didn't understand.
I don't understand that.
I don't know what that means.
If I've left anything out, I apologize. Bit old school here. Let the games begin. We dancing, Timmy. But his price is, it's a 179K MSRP. He's asking 325K, which is as in the stratosphere as his over revs.
Is that why he said it was included in the price?
Yes.
We're just so far.
So I can't tell if he's trolling people with this or this is a real listing. I kind of think he's trolling and I love his sense of humor. If he's not trolling, then...
I also love that the first bad overhead
himself
was oops, and then it was just vroom. Like he just got over it. He's like, nah, these are fine.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess shout out to that guy for having a sense of humor about his misshift and his price.
Man,
boy, did he get dragged like he was. It was the Corvette for him, man. It was not a pretty sight. But yeah, driver's DME. That's the first. I like that. Bad driver's DME.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that on the surface should be something like, oh, it's not like crystal, it's not like perfect, it's not a cream puff, like, okay, we can work
it has
with something
range
here.
Ones but not twos,
but and now this one goes all the way to 6.
Oops.
I don't even know what 6 is.
It's
all these
like
fancy new GT3s
RPM.
And there's so many ranges.
Oh,
the real men,
their red line is 9, so that's like 11
really
plus.
Look, these are these fancy boy GT3s that guy was talking about on Bring a Trailer. Not your grandpa's GT3. I only need 2 ranges, Doug. That's all I need.
I can find them all. I paid for the whole DME. I'm going to use the whole DME.
The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jake Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield all-sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one on July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All-Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine, so get yours at sheffieldwatches.com and be sure to mention you found them on Switchcast.
Another car dealer is going to jail. Hot off the press, December 23rd, 2025, from justice.gov.
Is this for some other kind of floor plan business or selling cars that you didn't own to get money for titles that you didn't have? Any of that kind of...
Nope.
Okay.
No, they were fairly cash positive. They were very, very cash positive. Have you ever heard the term when a car is overpriced... You got 60 grand in cash or drugs in the trunk?
Oh, I normally hear the cash, or there's like 40 grand on the hood.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the second part?
Yes. Yes, we are. Well, this that dealer might explain was why they legitimately were doing that. So Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Did I just miss a good joke?
I just made a face.
Okay.
I got to give Ethan something to cut to and do the...
Yeah. The United States Attorney's Office for the Middle District of Pennsylvania announced that William Kaduk, age 38, was sentenced by the U.S. District Judge on December 19th to 240 months.
Whew!
It's like 20 years.
Good gravy.
For drug trafficking and hiring gunmen to protect his illegal activities.
This is like Grand Theft Auto up in here.
He was found responsible for trafficking over 2,200 pounds of marijuana from his used car dealership. He also trafficked over 5 kilograms of cocaine.
Oof. Those are very different numbers.
Yes.
But still. Okay. All right. Wowie zowie.
Between October 18 and May 2020, Kaduk and his co-defendants operated a marijuana smuggling operation out of Fast Lane Auto Sales, a used car lot located in Harrisburg.
You could say he was living life in the fast lane, Doug.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
What was that?
Kaduk and his co-defendants arranged to have his drug source in California mail hundreds of parcels full of marijuana to Harrisburg through the U.S. mail. In the same way, they regularly mailed tens of thousands of dollars in cash back to the California source.
Why would you use the one like carrier that is the government for this?
I can tell you why. I'll go back on this later. There's a saying that if you want something done right, you don't hire the government. That's not a saying, but whatever. I'm the government. I'm here to help. It's the worst like saying you could hear. TSA is arguably the worst security firm in existence. If you want good security, you hire private.
Yeah.
So like, why would they use a company who has it all together with monitoring shipments and probably has fancy lasers and all that, like UPS or FedEx, when they could use the bleeding cash, incompetent U.S. mail.
But it's still the government. Anyway, look, I'm not a pro with this.
Anyway, but they did use a sophisticated system of GPS tracking devices, which they placed in their parcels to keep track of their drugs and money. So they probably had better tracking than the USPS.
Sometimes I wish places I buy stuff from would do that because the Postal Service loses packages all the time.
Let's see. Kaduk and his co-defendants use guns, robbery, and kidnapping as tools to keep their criminal operation running. When imposing sentence, Judge Wilson found that Kaduk engaged in dangerous and violent conduct that endangered the community. When thieves stole marijuana from his drug trafficking operation, Kaduk and his fellow traffickers used gunmen to try and stop the thefts.
Genuinely, well, Grand Theft Auto stuff.
What drug dealers do. They didn't say what kind of cars they sold, though. Were they all Nissan Altimas?
Well, back when I made that really ripping joke about living life in the fast lane, I was trying to Google, but I lost in the article the street Paxton Street.
Mm. While you're finding that, Kuduk was also sentenced for committing pandemic-related unemployment fraud. They say, don't break the law when you're breaking the law. While he was released awaiting trial for the drug trafficking case, Kuduk submitted a fraudulent application for pandemic relief. He got over $20,000 in pandemic unemployment relief. Again, what did I say about the government? They give a guy $20,000 in unemployment relief when he's out awaiting trial for trafficking drugs through his car dealer. Like, where's the oversight here?
This is wild. There is no website. The Google Street View is like one door in a sort of like strip mall thing next to a hair and skincare salon.
Mm.
And the one photo from 4 years ago has a Mustang, looks to be a CRV, a Land Rover, a Camry, and some like E-Class, I think. And so then maybe an Escape.
It's slightly more legitimate than the daycare centers in Minnesota. Have you seen that stuff in the news?
No.
Oh, boy.
No.
They're getting millions and millions of dollars from the government, and there's no kids there. Anyway, yikes. We won't open up that can of worms because that's political.
What is interesting is when you search Fastlane Auto Sales Paxton Street in your old search engine, it gives you articles about the situation and not anything about cars.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I also think it's funny that so many car dealers got the PPP stuff because car dealers were one of the like across the board industries that benefited greatly from the pandemic and from the related shutdowns and the supply chain disruptions. So that should have been a blanket, like no car dealers get this because you guys are all making bank off of the pandemic shutdowns, but they did anyway, including, remember, CNC Exotics. They tried to blame the pandemic for them going bankrupt, but that was probably what actually kept them around another year, and they got nearly $1 million in PPP funds when they were already on the brinks of disaster. They just, it gave them a longer rope. Let's see. One co-defendant, Christopher Texidor, was convicted of drug trafficking and violence offenses after a 6-day jury trial. He was sentenced to 292 months in prison.
Yeesh.
And there's 7 other co-defendants who all pled guilty. Lots and lots of prison time. Here's the one shout out I'll give to the government. The case was investigated by the Pennsylvania State Police, Dauphin County DA's office, and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service.
Have you seen photos of these guys?
Yes.
It's like kind of nuts.
I've heard that if they are coming for you with a warrant, not just heard, they have like a 98% successful prosecution rate.
Yeah,
some like, ridiculous success rate. Like they are the
cooked,
best.
Bro.
You just might as well just mail it in.
Whoa, hey, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh, pack it up.
Yeah.
It's time to.
Right. And they did. They got everybody. Like, look at these sentences here. There's no real good plea deals here. Everybody is guilty with many, many decades in prison. So there you go. They can't do the mail right, but boy, oh boy, can they prosecute you right when you put drugs and cash in the mail.
They got big old trucks. They've got their own badges. Yeah,
yes,
these
indeed.
I'd be terrified of these guys.
You do. That's not a good day when they come for you. You know you are guilty. All right, that brings us to the Plate to Sample game, which is brought to us both in concept and ongoing support by Solon Spine. That's solonspine.com. If you're crooked, not crooked like, Kuduk over there, dealing drugs instead of cars, but if you're out of alignment in your spine or other places in your body, Solon Spine will straighten you out. Go visit Dr. Hoover, solonspine.com, and tell them I don't know, take him a vanity plate, see if he can figure out what kind of car it's on. That is the name of the game, is we read off a vanity plate and we have to name that stereotype and try to guess what kind of car this is on. So, Tyler.
Ooh, I get to go first.
Lead us off.
All right, Doug. Plate number one for you. Happy day. Just having a good time.
Oh, happy days. Just like a really song. I don't know who does it as a reference to that.
No,
I feel like
they're
that would
just
be on
a
like a bright green or yellow Volkswagen New Beetle.
Not quite. I think this person could be having as much fun though.
Not quite.
Not
a Bugatti.
Okay. Maybe a little too far. It's an E350 convertible.
Oh,
it's just having a good time.
My
just
wife
happy
has one
day.
Of those.
Yeah, it's a good time. Top down.
She would never have that plate. Not because she's not happy.
She doesn't like to broadcast her happiness.
She doesn't like to broadcast things, and she doesn't like to waste money.
Well,
vanity plates are a waste of money for her.
All right, Doug.
Especially every other year when I'm like, hey, babe, I just spent $600 to renew all our plates.
Yeah, it's like...
okay, this one, Tennessee plate, Wild Rider.
Mustang.
No.
It is a Huracan.
No.
Am I close at all?
No.
Ah, shoot. Wild Rider. What else? Is that on like an off-roading, like a 4Runner? Or
it's the Corvette curmudgeon's wife. It is a GMC Acadia.
Yeah. Next. Thank you, Ian M., for my first plate, by the way. Second one from Jason P., Three Whips. I don't know if this is the third whip, but they got three whips.
Is it like Mazda RX-7 because it's a three-rotor?
No, my read is that this is them saying they have three cars.
That's dumb.
I agree, and this speaks to me like the family car.
I feel like... it's one of those traditional third car cars. That's like a Lexus RCF or whatever it is.
It's
or an Audi S5.
So not, this is more family hauler than that. It's like a bright orange Toyota Sequoia.
Maybe they have three kids.
And
they abuse them. I don't know.
Next.
Three whips.
Next.
Maybe they're swingers and they.
Whoa. I know there's no pineapple bumper stickers. So.
Why would you say three whips are cool cars?
Maybe they're really into their Sequoia. It looks like the TRD thing with the like, don't those have like the camo fender arches?
Maybe they're horse people.
All I'm seeing is a Purdue sticker and a thin blue line sticker. So,
okay. All right. This one from Jamie Clark on Instagram. Metruck. There's a big space in the middle, but that might be for the logo. Metruk.
Is that like one of those Metruck. Toyota trucks, like the 90s ones that was in like Toy Story?
No.
Is this a K truck? Is it
sort of?
Is this a Maverick?
No.
Ooh. The Santa Cruz.
No. It is a Geo Metro that's been turned into a pickup truck. So it's a Metruck.
Oh, I dig it. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The space is, they need to find a different plate that doesn't have the big space in the middle because it looks
cool.
Like Metruck, but it's Metruck.
The bed has to be so tiny, or has it been extended?
The bed is larger than the average $80,000 pickup truck.
Nice.
Friggin'
like
poser trucks.
Metros just like welded together.
No.
To make the. Anywho, next one from John A. No degree.
Lamborghini.
No.
Huracan.
Not,
something.
They weren't
Porsche
quite that,
GT3.
Not that successful.
Oh, are they bemoaning the fact that they didn't make it in life?
No, they're really bragging, but I think they're really bragging.
Corvette?
C63 AMG. But like...
They probably have better plates on their better cars. Because if they're bragging that they have no degree, they're probably incredibly successful like myself. Dropout. Yeah.
this... I feel like this is their car and this is them bragging. It's got the like wing. I mean, it's like a cool look. They blacked out the taillights. They work.
All right. Why you hate? I'm giving him credit for being awesome.
I don't like being braggadocious.
Okay, this one from CTAP3 on Instagram. California trait. California plate. Tracked.
Corvette. C5.
Nope.
Z06.
Okay. Nope.
Cayman.
Nope.
Tracked. Tracked Miata.
Nope.
What the heck is it?
Lexus ISF that is
okay.
Missing the rear bumper.
Well, they probably booped it on something.
Yeah.
Did it have like a big old wing? Or is it just kind of pretty stock?
It's got Volk wheels and it's lowered. But yeah, tracked and off tracked.
John, another one from John A. Actually, the next few are, so thank you for all the submissions. D model with a 3. D-E space model with a 3.
Like the model?
Mm-hmm.
The model. Is it a Tesla Model 3?
Bingo. I had to give you a little layup. You haven't done an EV.
Do they graduate from an Altima? The model? Okay, here's one from Hunter on Instagram. Big gal.
Excursion.
Nope. I think it's talking about the driver, not the vehicle.
Oh, well, okay. Now you're putting me in a situation, Doug.
Well, it's not talking about the vehicle.
Okay. Is this an Altima?
It's from a southern state. Come on. Think white trash.
Again,
who would put Big Gal on their plate?
An Explorer.
No.
What is it?
Closer. It's a Ford Mustang.
Oh.
With dual exhaust. Maybe a GT. But it's got like the plastic strakes in the rear window.
Ooh.
Like the 80s Mustangs
the
louvers, had.
Yeah.
The louvers.
We love some louvers.
Yep.
Alrighty, last one for you, Doug. Zero kids.
It's either a really awesome car or a really lame car. Because I saw
the second
older
one.
Porsche Boxster in Michigan one time. And I was like, if you're going to brag about not having kids, then you should be driving something that everybody with seven kids and mortgages could also afford. You should like.
Yeah, but they can't because because you want to be driving something that is obviously displaying the wealth you have because you haven't spent the money on kids.
Which is a very superficial thing. I'm not saying like that's a thing, like, oh man, people are better that don't have kids or have money or whatever. Like,
not at all.
Vanity plates are all superficial. That's in the name. It's vanity. So if they're going to put that out there, I'm going to make fun of them.
100%.
Unless like you have a crazy awesome car. Okay. Zero kids.
Yep.
Zero kids. I'm going to go with a 986 Porsche Boxster because that's what I saw it on.
Nope. That is not this plate.
No, it was a kids LOL. I think that's what it was.
Oh, that's even worse.
Exactly.
Actually. Like, haha.
Exactly.
You got a 20-year-old Boxster.
Miata.
This is nowhere near that cool. You could probably fit some kids in this car. Miatas are cool. I like a Miata.
Geo Metro.
No, it's a BMW X4. Yes.
Okay.
That's my reaction exactly.
You have kids in an X4 too.
Why are you bragging about that with an X4?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Kids, children are a blessing from the Lord, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, last one sent to us today from Vanity of South Dakota.
Nice.
Full Tilt.
Full Tilt. This an AMG of some kind? Is it a muscle car of some kind?
No.
I remember this is not going to work, but there was a Renault concept thing that Top Gear reviewed that was almost like a motorcycle that would tilt when you went around corners for like the weight. It's not that.
All the three wheelers do that now. The ones that have the two wheels in front and the one in the back.
Oh, yeah. Do they tilt? Is it one of those things?
No.
Ah.
That would make sense. It's an Audi A5.
An A5? What do you tilt? What is full tilt in an A5?
Well, I mean, maybe it's because it's soft suspension. So when they do go around corners, like.
It's like they're in an old Crown Vic.
Get the lean.
I don't know.
All right. So the clear winner of that group was the Metruck.
The Metruck was awesome.
Yep.
I dig the Metruck.
The rest of them were a little
iffy.
What? All right. Thank you all for your submissions of wonderful vanity plates that we can be confused by and make fun of their owners, even though we don't know them. But that's the best kind of humor.
Yes.
Anonymous humor. Behind a microphone.
Yeah,
behind
don't make
the camera.
Fun of my plate. Yeah.
Air LOL. Air 404.
Air 404.
Yeah. Missing air.
Yeah. The air's gone. Where'd it go? It's not.
You should upgrade your plate since you upgraded your car.
I'm trying to. Nothing has really come to me yet.
Metzger.
No, that's so basic, though.
All right, people. He's got a 996 GT3. What plate should he get?
Hit me with plate ideas. Everybody get something Metzger related. I thought about doing Metzger, but it was a 6 for the G and a 3 for the E because it's a 996 GT3 Metzger, but that's so just. Ugh. Everybody does Metzger plates. Something else.
It's got to be a play on something.
Yes.
It's got to be a heady thing.
Yes. I don't know about like. And if it's something fried egg related, it's got to be real good.
Don't technically have fried eggs anyway. Right? Isn't that
The early ones are runny eggs.
Oh,
the
6.2s
are like fried eggs because they're more differently egg-shaped. I don't
know. Omelet?
No, but that doesn't even make any sense. You could put that at any
996. If you had a 996 turbo, it would, because you could do omelet and just end it with a TT.
That okay? All right. I kind of dig that. For a turbo, because it is a twin. That's pretty good. There's something here with the GT3. I just haven't found it yet.
Mm.
So I'm open to suggestions.
GT not free.
Well, I mean, no, they're all expensive.
Just put PenFed. If you're in California, you can get the hearts. You can do I heart PenFed.
Hold on. I can check. Oh, no, this isn't the right thing. This is the Ohio Vanity.
We're about to find out.
This
here
is
going to
be so good. Where can I? Yes. Okay. PenFed.
Come on.
Oh my God. It's available. All right. Maybe. Well,
PenFed.
That's really funny. Pen, my Lord Pen. And Savior. It's the only reason I can have that car. Love it.
Lord Pen.
There's gotta be like a heart plate in here somewhere. Like, oh, I don't. There's so many. Oh my gosh, Ohio has so many different
logos.
Types of like,
so many
things, and I'm supposed to sit here and vamp about it until I find something. Donate life.
Does all right, either vote for him to get PenFed in your comments, or come up with a better one for Tyler.
Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory online at switchcars.com and mention Switchcast for special pricing. You can find more information online at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio, where you can experience the Switch Cars difference.
Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.